Hello, you're listening to Gaze Gaze, in which we're gay and we gaze into media that's by, for, or about ladies who love ladies. And sometimes we talk about other stuff. I'm Erin, and lapping waves, the sea breeze, blue and white and high contrast, and we have our guns. It's the perfect summer resort.
And I'm Erin, and trust me, so sparkly.
Erin, how do we get on to other side picnic?
It's time for picnicking.
How did we get transported to the other side?
Just kidding. It's time for Yuri with guns. Is the return.
Literally, this is exactly what you had been asking for. Was Yuri with
this guns? This is what I'd been asking for, and then not what I wanted.
Yeah, you asked for this in episode 2.
The monkey's paw has crumpled and curled.
You're so right. This was totally a monkey's paw situation. We chose Other Side Picnic, which is an anime series that came out last year, because Stevie, your partner, recommended it.
Yeah.
How did Stevie come to find this one?
So it had been talked about and recommended on a podcast that she likes. I think it was Waypoint. And I had also seen like people recommend that of their like 2021 like animes to watch.
Oh.
It had been like on a couple of lists, and it seemed like, I don't know, kind of interesting. So I thought, yeah, like, why not? Let's do it.
Yeah, it was definitely intriguing. Like, when I first started Googling it was like, there's not a whole lot of information about this out there. So I was like, I don't even know what to expect going in.
Right. I would guess that the reason why there's not a lot of information about it is because it's not very interesting.
Yeah.
Or good. And so nobody, but it's not bad enough to be also talked about. So it's, yeah, nobody's talking about it because it's kind of boring.
That's, you know, that's so fair.
Yeah. I'm so sorry. Because I'm sure some people really like this. And maybe it's apparently based off a light novel series. And I don't know how that is. We did not read this. I'm sorry. This is one that we're going to do a little bit of a, I don't know, make fun of it a little bit.
Yeah, we might have a few I have a few complaints about this. I will say I can see that it is ranked 5,813 on my anime list in terms of popularity, with an aggregate score of 6.58, and my anime list tends to overscore.
Yeah.
Anime. And only 464 people at the time of recording have marked it as a favorite. So
yeah, it's all fair. It's all fair.
And that's out of 100,000 people that have watched it.
Yeah. Obviously, like, our 2-minute glowing review of this probably doesn't make you want to watch it. But if you do want to watch it, I do actually suggest sticking around for some context that I'm going to give before the summary, just to give us, get us all on the same page. So even if you do want to watch it, stick around for a second. Other Side Picnic is based off the science fiction novel Roadside Picnic, which was published in 1972. And in that book's universe, there's an event called The Visitation, in where extraterrestrials come and they touch down in like half a dozen spots all over Earth. And the aliens, they're never seen coming or going, or like even seen at all. But the places where they visited, they now contain unexplained phenomena and valuable artifacts. The zones, as they're called, are kept under control by the UN, but there is a subculture of scavengers known as stalkers who try to enter the zones and steal the artifacts for profit. The title Roadside Picnic was chosen because The Visitation is meant to be seen like humans picnicking in the woods. Humans come, they bring foreign objects and things that woodland creatures wouldn't understand, and then they do like unexplainable things, and then they leave trash and crumbs in their wake, never to return again. There's also the 1979 film Stalker, which is based on the series, and then the first-person shooter game series Stalker, but with like bullet points in between.
Yeah.
Or with periods in between all the words, yeah, or the letters. The game series seems to be more loosely based on the book. The zones are apparently related to Chernobyl instead of aliens, but I'm not sure if that's just some kind of cover story that you get early on in the game that then it's revealed that actually it's aliens. I've never played the Stalker game series.
Did you watch the movie?
I didn't. I really wanted to, though. I just, like, I didn't have a chance.
Yeah, admittedly, and not to completely derail, I wanted to watch Stalker, but then I started reading the manga Peach Girl, and I just couldn't stop. I finished it all in, like, 48 hours, and it was, like, 20 volumes. Like, literally, I just sat down and just read it nonstop. So I didn't, unfortunately, watch Stalker. But I did ask Samantha about it.
Oh, yeah.
Because I knew that Sammy loves film. And so I just sent her a message and I was like, have you ever read Roadside Picnic? And she was like, no, but I've seen Stalker. I was like, perfect. And I asked her if she thought it was worth watching. And she said, honestly, yes. It's very long and arguably boring, but it's just very methodical and it's really thought provoking. It feels like a very long and slow dream. It has a lot of interesting philosophical ideas and it is genuinely a really, really beautiful film.
Yeah. So. It seemed really good, and I did read the summary, and I guess in Other Side Picnic, it was kind of annoying because, like, things from that movie, they just kind of take whole cloth from the Stalker film, but then don't really follow up on them. Mm-hmm. Like, the glitches that are in Other Side Picnic are from the Stalker movie. I don't know if they're from Roadside Picnic. That's, like, apparently, like, a major plot point. And then, like, Other Side Picnic, it's just, like, it's only relevant sometimes.
It's so funny. I literally made note that, like, for entire episodes, they would forget about the glitches. And then randomly, they'd be like, oh, no, a glitch.
Yeah. And then, like, specifically the, like, attaching a stone to a piece of cloth and then throwing it. That's from the Stalker movie, I guess. And, like, it's really random and out of place in the anime because they do it once and then they never do it again.
Well, yeah, they have that whole conversation about how, like, but what if we hit the glitch and the glitch travels through the string and then zaps us and then we die? But yeah, Sammy's final verdict on it was, honest to God, it is hypnotizing. You just need to be prepared to sit for 3.5 hours and do nothing.
Hell yeah. How about it? We have only so much time to prepare for each episode. And, yeah. And sometimes life gets in the way. So exactly. I'm sad
Peach Girl gets in the way.
Sometimes Peach Girl. I always get Peach Girl confused with that what was it that Tokyopop called the American manga division? It was like a Mary manga or something.
That's exactly what I was thinking, but I couldn't remember. Hold on.
I always get Peach Girl confused with the ferret airy manga, a Mary manga. Do you know what I'm talking about?
No, I have no idea what you're talking about.
They're not at all the same, but both of their covers are like the same color in my mind. And so I think they're the same.
I don't know what they called it.
Anyway.
But Peach Girl, I mean, it was one of those things where it was such a mess and I hated every single character, but I couldn't look away. It was like such a page turner. Like, I would just sit and I would get completely hooked. It was like all I could think about for like 2 days straight. So
what's it? It's about Garu girls?
No, it's not. It's about a girl who's on the swim team. So she gets really tan. So everybody thinks that she's a Gyaru. And so they have like preconceived notions about her, but mostly it's that she is in a love triangle with two boys that that are in love with her. One of them is like the school's bad boy and the other is her middle school best friend. But her like female best friend is intentionally sabotaging everything because she's like, my theory is that she's secretly in love with her and she just doesn't realize it.
Oh, yeah.
But what she ends up, it is some of the worst shit. Like, there's a lot of sexual assault that happens.
Oh,
there's,
no.
Murder attempts. Like, it straight up is wild. So, but yeah, she does some wild shit. Yeah. So, because her best friend is just trying to sabotage her for no discernible reason other than, like, just because she can.
Yeah. Jeez.
I know. It was wild. I couldn't put it down. The art was really cute. The pacing was good. Yeah, it was good.
Well, here's something that we could have put down, but we couldn't actually because we had to do a podcast episode on it.
I know.
Let's talk about the summary of Other Side Picnic. I have some very limited content warnings. I think passive suicidal thoughts is like probably my main one. There's a little bit of body horror in this. It's scary. It's a little bit scary. It's creepy.
There's a lot of guns.
There's a lot of guns.
And there's also, honestly, like, some potentially pro-U.S. military propaganda, which is weird. I don't know how to decipher any of that.
I wouldn't say it's a pro, but it's definitely, it's just like, I don't, it's they're weird. There. Yeah. They're there. They sure are there. In writing the summary, I was like, do I include the part about the U.S. Marines? Because it's, I mean, I guess so, but like, it doesn't, I don't know.
I have so much to say about that. So we have to
I have to mention it because we're going to have so much to say about it. But it's like, it happens and then it doesn't happen for a couple episodes and then it happens again. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know okay. exactly.
Anyway. Anyway, all right. So we start Other Side Picnic. It hits the ground running. College student Soro Kamuroshi is laying in a pool of water, and she's facing the choice of either fighting a supernatural monster or letting herself drown. Right when she gives in to her fate of certain death, she is saved by Toriko Nishina. Toriko is able to pull Soro out of the water and dispel the monster with rock salt. The monster, known as a Wiggle Waggle, drops this reflective cube when defeated, which Toriko takes with her as the pair escape back into the real world. The gateway that Soro had been using to enter the other side is destroyed when they return, however. The next day, Toriko tracks down Soro and tells her that she wants to return to the other side in order to search for more artifacts like the cube, which she was able to sell for a high price. She knows a way back to the other side, but doesn't want to go alone. Soro reluctantly agrees, partly because she likes going to the other side and she wants to know another way to get there. Toriko is equipped with a gun, rock salt, and the knowledge of the realm that she's gained from her friend Satsuki. However, when the pair return to fight the Wiggle Waggle again, neither guns nor rock salts work on it. Supposedly, looking at any other side monster for too long will drive you insane, but Soro figures that looking at the monster can help them find its weakness. And indeed, that does help. Soro is able to see the Wiggle Waggle's true form by looking at it, and Toriko is able to pull her attention back to herself, like, before she is driven completely insane. A plant-like growth has formed over Soro's eyes that Toriko pulls off with her bare hands, freeing her from the madness-induced trance. The result of this is that Soro now has a blue eye that lets her see monsters' true forms, and Toriko gets this blue transparent hand that can interact with unseen things on the other side.
Her monster hand.
You know. After several adventures on the other side, the pair end up phasing into the other side accidentally multiple times. On one of these times, they find the U.S. Marine Forces that have also accidentally ended up on the other side. They are able to destroy the monster that has been plaguing the force, but seeing the girl's eyes and hands, that makes some of the U.S. forces that have kind of like become more far gone by being trapped in this other realm. It makes them think that, like, the girls are monsters and they end up chasing the girls away. Toriko ends up feeling bad that the U.S. forces are still trapped there, though. So several weeks later, but luckily only 2 days on the other side, the
pair go back. Just enough time for more people to die, though.
Yeah, just enough time for all the people who had lost their mind to die. The pair go back and are able to lead the forces to safety. The series leaves off with Toriko and Soro on the other side, holding hands, reminiscing on how they first met.
Oh my god.
You know? What?
Yeah.
What to say about this?
I don't even know where to start, Erin.
Let's start with the fucking tone.
Okay, actually, that's what I wanted to say. Wanted to talk about the light novels. Because I don't know that much about them, but they are classified as yuri and apparently are more explicit in like being gay than the series is. But also, the light novels reportedly have a much more like both somber and lighthearted tone in which the girls are more accurately like depicted as humans. And when this was announced for as an anime, I guess a bunch of people who were fans of the light novels were super excited. And from what I was seeing in reviews, folks were very disappointed with the anime adaptation for getting the tone of the light novel series just completely off.
So fucking wrong.
Not only that, but like the audio mixing and the animation quality were also often talked about as negatives. Yeah.
This must have not had the best budget. There are times where if the characters are depicted far away, they turn into these 3D models that look incredibly
Oh my god,
awkward.
It's so funny. The 3D models, like the way they use them. There's specifically one scene where they're like trying to walk across a small piece of stone in a ravine, and like they just look like 3D. They're like almost T-posing.
Yeah, the 3D models don't have the range of movement that you would expect from, I don't know, a person. This is something that we talked about, like just very, very briefly, and that I know, like, not a ton about. Because anime has become so popular, animation studios are getting a lot more requests for series, and so it has, like, resulted in a lot of overworking, and just, like, in order to meet deadlines, studios kind of do have to push out things faster and at a less high quality than they normally would. It's unfortunate, but it also does mean that this is not the best looking at times. The tone is so bad that there were, like, multiple points where I was, like, for sure 100% certain that Toriko was going to end up being, like, an evil monster from the other side. I was like, no human acts like this. And then there were times also where Zoro, I was like, oh my god, she's, like, been replaced by evil monster, or she's, like, this is all an illusion and nothing this real because she's, like, acting so inhuman.
Yeah, no, that's just how it is. Personally, my favorite example of this is in episode 2. This early on.
Yes.
This is the episode where they encounter a man on the other side who is looking for his lost wife. There's a glitch and they can't walk past it, but he notices it. So he throws a rock and saves them from it, blah, blah, blah. And they're like, oh my God, like, thank you so much. You saved our lives. And they have this like whole interaction with him. The whole episode's about him. And then they get to this space where he sees a mirage that like he thinks is his wife. And they just like let him run to it and he dies. And they don't do anything about it, and they don't care. They never talk about it again.
They never talk about it again. I mean, to be fair, like, it seems like both Toriko and Zoro are also having like the same kind of mirage, and they're all kind of in this trance. So it's like, it's not their fault that he died, but you do kind of expect them to have any kind of reaction. But their reaction is just like, Toriko ends up like freeing herself from the trance and then saving Zoro. And then they're like, wow, I'm so glad that you saved
yourself, right?
Yeah. She's like, wow, I'm so glad that you saved me. And then that's it. It's like, that dude just fucking beefed it.
Yeah, I know.
They're like, wow, we got another thing to sell. We got this cool hat from that lady who tried to kill us and also definitely killed that dude right in front of us.
I know. Man, this was also early enough in the series that they were still collecting Minecraft glass blocks.
Yeah.
I had just like gotten back into playing Minecraft after taking like almost a year long break. Literally, I played 5 hours of Minecraft and started Other Side Picnic and was like, oh my god, there are prizes that they get a glass block.
They go into the Nether and they get a glass block. They get a gas tier.
Yeah, literally is like they're out there collecting gas tiers from these.
Okay, actually, fuck. Oh, shit. What's that? What's the lady who buys them? What's her name?
The girl that with the white hair, their friend?
Yeah, the girl with the white hair.
Kozakura.
Okay, also going back to things that I'm waiting for an explanation that never happens. Why does she look like that?
Because she's an anime girl.
I guess so, but I was like, it's like,
is she supposed to be a grown woman?
I think she's supposed to be a grown woman. She definitely looks like she's 12 and she has silver anime hair.
I thought that she was supposed to be like their age, but just like homeschooled.
Oh, maybe. I assumed that she was older because, well, that was also confusing because she's like, I'm studying the other side and apparently have been doing it for a while, and I know jack shit about jack shit.
I know. And then her explanation for why she doesn't know anything about it is because, and I quote, her serotonin transport gene is too short, and so she gets scared so easily.
So easily.
So she can't learn too much about it because it's scary.
Yeah.
But then why are you an expert?
I don't know. Why does she even want the artifacts if she's terrified of all of them? She looks like she's 12, which, whatever, that's like par for the course in anime, I guess. But it is weird when it's like, here are two college students and their older friend who is 12.
Yes. Yeah. Like, they're all adults. They don't look like it. I kept thinking that they were high school students throughout the series.
Yeah. I think that was another reason why I saw this recommended, at least like before it had come out, is it like as a reason to be excited for it is that people are like, oh, it's a Yuri, but they're college students instead of high school students, which is like a little bit unusual, at least.
Yeah, that's true.
Too bad it's boring.
Yeah, so too sorry. Bad it's boring.
I'm so no, I feel bad like if somebody likes this and we're just shitting on it.
And oh wait, can I say one more thing about that guy's death?
Oh yeah.
In episode 3, the next episode immediately after his death, they think that they accidentally kill one of the monsters in the elevator that they take to get to the other side. It's like the elevator stops at each floor and there's like a different monster and they have to quickly close the doors before the monster gets them in order to keep going to the other side. And there's this one floor that has who they call Elevator Girl that lives on it. And they shoot at her and they get worried that they kill her. And it's like, you are so worried that you accidentally killed this monster when a man died right in front of you.
Right, right.
2 days ago. And you did not care.
Yeah, that was like so weird. Maybe this is a good opportunity, though, to transition into another thing that I wanted to bring up, which is that Other Side Picnic is based off of different copypastas and like urban legends.
Yes.
From online. One of them that we just mentioned being the like elevator game, which is an urban legend that if you want to enter a parallel universe, you need to go to an elevator that like reaches 10 floors or higher. And then you press the buttons in a certain order and that will take you to another world. But you have to be careful because if you break the sequence or if you let certain people on, like specifically if you get to the 5th floor and a young girl wants to get on, you can't like let her on or talk to her because that's actually an evil spirit who's like trying to attack you.
Yeah. And that's yeah. the said girl.
Yeah. And that's said girl.
And they shoot her. With their guns.
With their guns. But yeah, a lot of these, I was like surprised on how many of the weird phenomena that they see in the other side is actually like based on some kind of urban legend. Like even the Wiggle Waggle, which is the stupidest name. I'm so sorry. Yeah. It's such a bad name for something.
I feel like it's like bad translation too.
Maybe.
Like it doesn't have the same vibe when you translate it.
That's fair. But yeah, apparently that it's a creature that you can see in the distance in rice fields and that if you see it close up, it'll drive you mad, which is kind of interesting. The other one, which I was really surprised was based off of something, was episode 8, which has the ninja cats.
I know. Oh my God, the ninja cat episode.
The ninja cats, which is based off a 2-channel story that, which I couldn't find the original. And I'm sure if I did, it would be in Japanese anyway. So I'm just going off of this website. But yeah, apparently somebody was saying that they were being attacked by ninja cats, but people visited the location that the person said and that there were no ninja cats there.
No such ninja cats.
Yeah, sad. If you've been attacked by ninja cats, you should email us at erin@gazegaze.com.
Erin, I took notes for like at least one line about every episode, except for episodes 4 and 5. I legitimately could not tell you what happens in those episodes.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure you did take notes for episode 5 because that's when they first go to and see the Marines.
Oh, I thought that was episode 6.
I thought it starts in episode 5, but then it carries over to the next episode.
Oh, maybe that's it. Yeah. Okay, well, never mind.
Oh my God, that's okay. I guess going and transitioning back to tone, the other thing that's fucking wild is first they go and they meet the Marines, and the Marines, they save the Marines, but then some of the Marines are like, you're evil monsters, and they chase them away and they have to escape. When they escape, they end up in Okinawa, which is where the Marines had come in to the other side. And when they get there, they're like, yay, let's go to the beach. I'm like, you just almost fucking died.
And so we get a beach episode.
And then we get a beach episode where they then, again, they get transported to the other side while trying to go to the beach. And instead of being like, oh, fuck, we're going to die, they're like, oh, sick, private beach.
So weird. Totally the strangest.
I don't know. Should we talk about the Marines?
Yeah, let's let's save the Marines for last, because we're going to end on the Marines. We've talked about the Ninja Cats. We've talked about the beach episode. We have not talked about Tooth Grandma.
Oh, yeah. Tooth Grandma. What's up?
I don't have much to say about Tooth Grandma, other than that there is a grandma who's a ghost in the other side who will steal your teeth. And she uses magic to just be like, and her tooth fell out. And then they lose a tooth. And then they have to fight her. And yeah. They brainwash another lesbian.
Yeah.
And have that lesbian who's trained in kung fu. Or is it karate? She's trained in martial
arts.
She's
trained in karate, yeah.
They have her kick the shit out of that grandma. Just absolutely destroy her.
Yeah. Yeah. And which introduces... That Soro apparently has the ability to fucking brainwash you into having superpowers.
Yeah, that's what her secret eye does. It's like Toriko's hand can reach into things and like pull stuff out. I don't know how, but her hand is like connected to the other side. But Sorao just has magic eye. Like, not only can she brainwash people with it, but she can see monsters and she can see ghosts that other people can't see.
Yeah, it seems like everything in the other side is kind of like, it has like what it appears to be, and then it has like what it actually is. And so like, that's what the eye is able to see. She has to like focus.
Yeah. She has to really think about it.
She has to think about it. I thought the grandma episode was kind of interesting. It was based off of this like read at your own risk story, which was on 2Channel. And in that story, like, a human-looking monkey will appear to you and give you some teeth and tell you to give it to this, like, old lady who will show up. And so you have to keep the teeth, and then when the old lady shows up, you have to give her the teeth or else she will steal your teeth.
Yep, and that's exactly what happens to them. I feel like that episode and the Ninja Cat episode were just kind of a nice break from all of the other stuff that was going on, because we had some more characters other than Sorao and Toriko, because they meet with these two other girls, one who brings up the Ninja Cat stuff, and her sister... Her girlfriend.
I got really distracted. Oh my goodness. Yeah, the girl who very obviously has a crush on her.
Yeah.
Which is, there's also kind of funny that Natsumi is jealous of Soro before she shows up, because Akari keeps talking about her. And then when Soro shows up, she's like, oh, I don't need to be jealous. You're kind of frumpy.
Yeah.
Which is so funny.
I do kind of like the Toriko-Sorao dynamic of Sorao being like normal girl who like doesn't take great care of herself and is just like out there vibing, and Toriko being like picture perfect, like beautiful. She would be in a normal high school anime, she would be like the student body president archetype.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. In this episode, something interesting comes up. I suppose like this happens to everybody, but not just lesbians. Akari knew Satsuki, who is Tokori's friend who like disappeared into Toriko. The other side. Toriko. What am I saying?
You said Tokori.
Whatever. And she's like, oh, Soro, you actually look like her, which then makes Soro like...
jealous.
She's like, oh no,
she's like, that's the only reason you like me is because I look
like
your
Tokori
dead ex.
Liked me because our Toriko. Oh, I am saying that shit.
You're saying Tokori.
what is wrong with me? She's like, oh no, Toriko doesn't actually like me. She just likes me for my looks, my dark hair and my glasses.
It's true. Because she also was like, you should grow your hair out. I think it look cute. And then she's like, oh my God. Like,
yeah,
you only said that because you want me to look more like Satsuki. So there's a little, that's like the most conflict we get really between the two of them.
Oh, it is Satsuki.
Yeah, Satsuki is the dead ex.
Satsuki. Yeah. She's not, well, she's, okay, so Tokori is...
Toriko?
Toriko, what is wrong with me? What is happening? I'm being affected by the other side. I've looked at the wiggle waggles for too long. They're affecting my brain. Toriko is looking for her friend slash, it seems like her ex-girlfriend, Satsuki, who disappeared into the other side like 3 months ago at the start of the series, and everybody's like, she's probably dead, and Toriko is like, she's not dead, she's like very knowledgeable. But it also kind of seems like Satsuki is an evil spirit.
Yes, there's definitely, that's hinted at multiple times.
Yeah.
I think that what is maybe most likely is that she was attacked by monsters in the other side and like has since become a monster herself. Out of all the characters to become a monster, I think that Satsuki is the most likely one who has faced that. I wonder if the light novels extrapolate on that a little bit more.
Yeah, I think it must be.
Well, you want to talk about the U.S. Marines?
Yeah, sure. It was so unexpected.
Let me see if I can explain this. So they find the U.S. Marines, who were all stationed in Okinawa. It was like the entire Okinawan U.S. Marines were transported to the other side because they went out on a mission into the forest and they accidentally like found one of those like glitch portals that teleported them all there. So yeah, they have set up a base in the other side, but many of them have died, and many of them have also gone mad, and they've had to kill their own, and so there's been all of this drama with this.
Right. And also they have Boston Dynamics dog things, the dog robots.
Yes.
Which, when they stepped on the glitches, have then become evil other side monsters.
I forgot about that. But yes, that is also a part of it.
Not terribly relevant.
So the way that the other side works is that time runs differently and space runs differently. So even though the girls, I believe, are from Saitama, and even though Okinawa is very far away, they run into the U.S. Marines on the other side pretty quickly because you can travel through the other side much quicker than you can travel through the actual world, just like the Nether in Minecraft. So for the Marines, they've only been in the other side for like a couple of days, but the girls, they encounter them at multiple points throughout their like journey into the other side, which they, I believe the course of the show, it takes place over like 3 or 4 months.
Yeah, I think it's 3 months.
Yeah, I think because at the end they're like, we've only known one another for like 3 months, but in that time, like blah, blah, blah.
We've grown so close.
Yeah, exactly. Which begs the question, when they go into the other side, how many days pass before they come back out and nobody notices that they're like missing classes and shit? Like, very strange.
No, I think it's the other way around. They can spend a day away.
No, it isn't. Because no, the Marines were like, we've only been in here for 2 days. And they were like, really? It's been like a month for us.
Yeah, shit.
Yeah.
If a significant amount of time passes, they never fucking bring it up.
No, that doesn't matter in this anime at all.
Also, them going to, they never go to class.
No, the college life, not even a part of it.
Soro only goes to class once so that Akari can like see her and be like, help me with my ninja cat problem.
Literally, that's the only time. It's just for another side episode for some filler for them to do something for a minute. But they run into the U.S. Marines. The U.S. Marines like kind of save them from... Remind me what exactly happens when they first encounter them, because it's like
they're running from the glitched out Boston Dynamics dog robot. Yes. And something else. Oh yeah, these like, it kind of looks like the Minecraft Soul Sand, but if it could move.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then also then when the U.S. Marines show up, then this like giant deer guy appears who also starts attacking them.
Yes. But they just scare all those guys away. They don't like kill them. But the Marines like keep the girls safe.
Yeah.
And the Marines give the girls some very specific instructions.
Yeah.
They're like, do not use your phones.
Well, he's like, he's like, stay in the tent, and also I don't advise using your phones. Like, if you don't mind, please do not use your phone. So it is a suggestion. It's something that shouldn't have been a suggestion, because when you use your phone, all of the monsters in the area come and attack you.
Yeah.
And even though, like, the Marines seem to know that it was caused by somebody making a phone call, they're very chill about it. They're like, all right, guess we have to fight off all these monsters now. It's like, I would be like, you know, like, damn, why the fuck did you do that, guys?
I know. So not only did the girls break the rules by using their phones and summoning all of these monsters, but then they, like, break the other piece of advice, which was do not leave the tent. Not only do they leave the tent and go onto the battlefield, but they steal military-grade weaponry, including an assault rifle, and they try to shoot the monster with Sorao's magic eye, and they're successful, and they kill the monster, and the Marines are like, oh my god, what a great job you just did. And so then they send them, they're going to, like, have, like, a celebration for the girls for killing the big monster, but then Sorao's fucking contact falls out, and they see her demon eye. And they're like, oh my god, monster, she's monster. And so they chase her, and then they
just
have to get on
this, like, because she has one blue eye?
Just because she's heterochromia. They oh were my god. Really killer. And so then they have to use the portal on the meat train to get back to the real world, which is how they end up in the beach. I say all this to give context. Like, there has been beef. The girls have done so much wrong. And then they get to the real world, and they're just like, let's just put that all behind us. Like, let's not think about it anymore. And they're like, all right, let's leave these dozens of men behind in the other side to die. That's fine.
I will say that the episode after that, which I think is 7, they do wake up naked in the same bed together, which is...
Oh my god, yeah, I forgot about that.
Or I guess just Toriko is naked.
And then, so we get the beach episode, we get the ninja cat and the tooth grandma episode, we get all these filler episodes, and then Toriko is like, you know, I regret leaving the Marines behind a little bit. I feel kind of guilty about it. I think that maybe we should consider going back to get them, but, like, no pressure, though.
At which point, Sorrow is like, I forgot that they existed.
Yeah. She's like, I literally did not remember them at all.
Oh my god. Girl, please.
I know.
And then she's literally like, I'm only going to help you out with this because I want you to think that I'm a good person who cares about other people.
Explicitly, I will only do this so that you have a better view of me.
Like, oh my god, if you wanted that outcome, do not telegraph that, you know?
Yeah, don't just tell the girl, like, yeah, I will help rescue dozens of men who are on the brink of death. But not because I want to, out of, like, helping people live, only because it might impress you.
Yeah.
But she does do it. They go, they get the soldiers, they have this, like, elaborate plan to get them out, and they manage to get them, they get them out okay. And oh, it's fine. But I will say that many men had died in the 2 days that they like 1 month that they went into the...
What's also hilarious is they're like, it's kind of shown as, like, a good thing, basically, because, like, they show up there and they're like, oh, hey, where's Greg, who's the guy who, like, was like, they're monsters and we need to kill them. And their friend, the Marine, is like, oh, he died because he went insane along with all the other people who wanted to kill you. But good news, that means that nobody wants to kill you anymore.
Yeah.
The other thing, I was like, screaming the entire episode, because in the beach episode where they go to the other side beach, they have the hat from the creature that they got in the second episode, which is what transports them to the other side. But then Sora-O is magically like, oh, it can also bring us back, just kind of like out of nowhere. And so they use the hat at the very last minute when they're getting attacked by these monsters in order to escape to the real world. And so I thought the hat disintegrated after that episode, but apparently they still have it. They use it to go to the Okinawa other side to get to the Marines again. And once they see the Marines, I'm like, cool. They're going to then take the hat and do the magic spell where then they can then like the hat or use the hat to get mm-hmm. back to the real world. And no, they have to go and take the soldiers back to the place where they first came in. I'm like, why?
I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, there is, when they use the hat to get back to the real world, they are like, I don't think we can do that again. But I assume that was because the hat dissolved. But the hat still is there, so I don't really understand.
I don't understand why they couldn't do that. They just needed to say, I don't think we can do that again, just so that we would have some sort of rationale to be like, oh, that's why they couldn't do it. It's because they said they couldn't do it.
They think they did say that they couldn't do it, but they still, I thought it was because the hat disintegrated, but the hat is still there. I don't know.
I don't know, Aaron. But after they save the Marines and get them back, the Marines are like, aren't you coming with us? And they're like, no, we're going to stay on the other side.
I was also fucking screaming at that. I was like, why go to fucking Okinawa? And then the U.S. Marines can give you a private fucking jet or something. Yeah, I don't know.
Exactly. They would have too, because they're the U.S. military.
Have the U.S. military give you $1 million.
They would have been able to
They would have done it. Maybe. But
these girls are like, no, we have to stay on the other side. So they stay in this creepy forest where Sodao gives her speech where she's like, you know, I didn't care about those guys at all, but I do care about you. And then Toriko's like, oh, that's so sweet. I'm so glad that you care about me. And they hold hands, and then they're fine. And then
even weirder than that, so they get the Marines back to the real world at the beginning of the last episode. And so then the rest of the last episode is them just fucking around looking for a portal to the other side that's near enough to their friend's house that they can get this tractor into the other side to use to store their guns and shit. It turns out there's a portal right in front of their friend's house. Oh my god.
This whole time. Yeah, I blacked out after that because as soon as they like gave their little confession speech in the forest, I was like, this is where the series should have ended.
Yeah.
Though I will say, I think that there might be a season 2 coming.
Who asked for that?
I know. If that happens, I think they wanted to set up some more shit.
Yeah. I think that the ending is probably like it is because I'm sure that's what it was in the light novel. And I think from a novel perspective, like, that ending makes a little bit more sense to kind of, like, wrap everything up, but also allude to, like, a second season. It does not translate well into an anime.
Yeah. What, Aaron, one thing I will say is that this is the first time in a Yuri that two lesbians have been braver than the U.S. Marines.
You know, every lesbian is braver than the U.S. Marines.
This is the first time it's been canon, though.
The first time it's been canon. That is true. Oh, yeah. Another thing that I want to go back to in terms of tone is the anime opening and ending.
Yeah.
There's like these like catchy, like upbeat, like happy, sparkly pop songs. And then and it shows the like girls going into the other side by like going into like this magical portal, and they're all like, they're falling and they're happy and they're holding hands. And then it's just like in the opening, it's just like random shots of like the evil monsters that they have to fight. It's totally dissonant. It's bad.
Yep. The top review on my anime list is from user Sanae K10, and they included this quote: the OP and ED are fine, maybe a bit too cheerful for my liking, but the days of having an actually scary OP for your horror anime have long passed. Even Higurashi has a generic pop OP now. Like, yeah. We're no longer in the Death Note era where we can just have a heavy metal theme song.
I guess. If anything, this series made me really interested in looking into Roadside Picnic and Stalker. Watching the movie Stalker. Yeah, yeah. So that's something.
I will also say that Roadside Picnic also inspired another anime, Made in Abyss, which is another isekai anime.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, which is, that one is way more popular than other Side Picnic, and it is not lesbians. I don't know why they let's lesbian Roadside Picnic, I guess, but the author must really like the original work in order to want to write the light novel about it.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. And there are, like, references to the movie and the book in this. So I guess the elements that I did like is that it ties into, like, real world and, like, internet-related copypastas and urban legends.
Yes.
Because that's just kind of, like, a fun thing that you can do in, like, this type of science fiction where it's, like, the supernatural has this explanation. It's these things that people have seen are from, like, aliens.
Yeah. I really love referential work, but not all referential work is good, is the thing.
Another that's so true. Flops. So true.
The anime does anyway. It just flops. It's so funny, though. I think I talked with you about this, not on the podcast, and I've talked with a couple of friends about this, but I saw an opinion. I wish I could remember the Twitter user that posted it, but I saw a tweet that basically read, like, the reason that Star Wars movies today are not as good as they were when they were originally being made is because the original Star Wars films are inspired by fantasy novels and war movies versus the new Star Wars movies being inspired by old Star Wars movies.
Yeah, I saw that one too.
Yeah, and
specifically, it was fantasy novels, I think cowboy movies and samurai movies.
Yes, okay, thank you.
Yeah.
From there, I was like, holy shit, that's why, like, so much anime these days is not as good as the classics. As you know, I'm a massive fan of, like, 60s, 70s, and 80s anime and manga. And it's because a lot of those series had to reference art, had to reference literature, had to reference film, and because it was, like, foundational for the genre, you know? But now a lot of anime can just reference older anime, which is fine in a lot of instances, but sometimes it just leads to stuff, especially in the isekai genre, like Other Side Picnic, to feeling repetitive, which is why I think that Other Side Picnic is so great in concept, because it's like an isekai that is not necessarily referencing other isekai. It's referencing literature and film, but it just doesn't, it just doesn't hit. They made some critical mistakes with the tone that just, it just flops, you know?
Yeah, I mean, like, I agree with your take to a certain extent. I do also like animators being overworked and forced to overproduce is a huge issue right now, both in Japan and in the United States and Canada, where animation happens.
Yes.
And that, I think that also contributes to anime not getting as good of releases as they could get, because again, they have to push this stuff out.
100%. It's like, in concept, the people who are making conceptual decisions and directors are making the same loops of, like, let's just do the same shit because it'll get views. And then at the same time, all the animators that are and like folks that are doing the storyboarding are getting stuck with these uninspired like prompts, or and working under severe crunch. And there's just, like,
and even like, it's been a huge thing that, like, a bunch of isekai based on light novels have been being produced, and that is because like, producers and people funneling money into anime will give more money to like something that's based on a property because they see it as a safer option than somebody's original anime idea, and so you don't get these, like, original anime produced as often as well.
That's true.
Just like in the American film industry. Though,
you know, speaking of another original anime that I was thinking about while watching Other Side Picnic, Madoka Magica, another lesbian isekai anime about fighting monsters, that is both better and worse than Other Side Picnic in different ways.
Oh, wow. We got to do Madoka sometime.
I really want to do a Madoka episode sometime, just because I would love to do the Gen Urobuchi deep dive. So, man.
yeah, I think that's, I've said all I've had, all I have to say. Thanks so much for listening. If you feel like it, you can follow us on Twitter at GaysGays, and there you can tweet with us and slip into our DMs to give us thoughts, ideas, or recommendations. Or if you prefer, you can also email us at Erin@GaysGays. And if you email us, we will send you a mystery attachment. We do that semi-consistently. Sometimes it's just our friends, so I end up like DMing them on Discord. But it'll happen, I swear. Also, if you like this podcast, please tell your friends about it. We would really appreciate that. Many thanks to Kate and Leslie of Neon and Nude for allowing us to use their songs Look and Love and You Pretty Thing for our intro and our outro music. You can and should buy their album at neonandnude.bandcamp.com. But you can also stream it on Spotify. And next week, we're going to be doing the Fingersmith series with Hoops, our friend. And yeah. if you don't know who that is, Hoops was on our Are You the One episode.
Mm-hmm. Which was such a fun series. I was just talking a little bit with Jude about it yesterday.
Yeah, I want to do another
reality TV
show.
Oh my God, I also would love to do another reality TV episode. We should put one on the schedule soon.
Yeah. But until next time, I'm Erin.
And I'm Erin.
And we're gay. And we're gay. That's all.
Bye.
Bye. Here.